Hello, this is Pastor Deborah, and I want to welcome you again to another wonderful live radio show here on Blog Talk Radio through the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. This is Pastor Deborah, and we're going to be teaching today, this night, of June the 13th, 2024, on the topic that I've been talking on called the curses of abuse. When a child is abused in any way, neglected, as sexual, physical, even nutritional abuse, emotional abuse, curses come into our life. Those are things that produce, that come through seeds, through words, through actions, and they produce what we call evil, not good blessings in our life. And we've been working through some of those curses. This week, we're going to talk about the deaf, D-E-A-F, that means you cannot hear, and dumb curse that comes into our lives through abuse. And we're going to talk about the curse of jealousy. I had to learn this when I went into spiritual care work to help humanity instead of mental health counseling. And I had a book that I used. It was called Strong Man's, His Name, What's His Game? And it was by Drs. Jerry and Carol Robinson. They did a biblical approach to issues that humanity was having. They went through the King James Bible and found a lot of scriptures. I had to study them in order to help people in a spiritual care way. So in this episode of NASCA, I think it is scan number 3443 here on Live Block Talk Radio of June the 13th, 2024, we're going to cover these two curses. And I hope you learn and you become a disciple of Pastor Deborah and you listen to many other of the Blog Talk Radio shows with NASCA. There's so many wonderful people on it, and not only on NASCA, but many other people have Zoom conferences. They have support groups, teaching, books, trying to help you who have been abused as a child in any way. So welcome again to the Blog Talk Radio show of the NASCA family, the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, in a live radio show with me, Pastor Deborah, talking about the curses of abuse. All right, I'll see you in just a few minutes on the show. Bye-bye.
Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want to get I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Hello and good evening, and welcome to the NASCA Stop Child Abuse Now and Blog Talk Radio Show. NASCA is the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Victoria Kelly, and I am your host for this evening. We are on scan number 3443. 843. I'm excited to introduce to you our special guest this evening. However, first, I would like to let you know that here at NASCA, we have a single purpose, which is to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect, and we do so with only two goals. One, educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone, and two, offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Again, we are on scan number 34, and if you'd like to be part of the panel, excuse me, please call in at 646-595-2118, and I'll meet you on the back line, and hopefully you can come on and support our guests this evening, and we'd love to have you come and join us. So our special guest this evening is Pastor Deborah Schley, which I know I said that wrong, and who grew up all over the world in a military family where her mother was mentally ill and is now a survivor. Deborah is now a survivor professional living in Pensacola, Florida. She's trained in ministry, mental health, working with substance abuse, and is a trauma-informed social worker, all in one. She volunteers with many community organizations. Pastor Deborah says she can minister by text, phone, Skype, in person, and however the Lord directs her, 24/7. She teaches that humans have three parts, being a spirit, soul, and physical body, and believes that all three are important and that each area needs care. We look forward to Pastor Deborah being an active, and she is an active member of the NASCA family and been for a long time. Okay, so on these episodes, we welcome various co-hosts and survivor professionals. We'll assist in building questions and lead a variety of topics. And Pastor Deborah have us on for this thing. I would also let people know that you can visit us at NASCA, NASCA.org website. We have about 45 programs on there that we'd love to have you check out. And also, if you are an adult survivor of childhood abuse or survivor professional, as we call, we'd love to have you come on and be a guest. So get a hold of us. And okay, Pastor Deborah, I've got your mic open and you're on. Welcome back to the show.
Hello, Miss Victoria. And it's good to be back. We're in the part of Florida that didn't get all that rain. We're just hot and sunny. Yeah, we're just hot and sunny up here. And we're doing all right, no storms. But the other part of Florida from about Tampa down really got a lot of rain. And you haven't been on with me for a while, but we've been talking about the curse. We've been talking about the curse of abuse.
Yep. Go ahead.
Is anybody on the line?
No, nobody's on yet. You and I, that's somebody.
Okay.
But
well, what
ahead,
I've been covering.
You know, you had a topic.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
What I've
I'll
been
quit.
Covering is when somebody has trauma in childhood or abuse of any kind, verbally, physically, sexually, curses come upon their life. And I had worked through some, like brokenness, the loss of innocence, fear, rejection. And last week we went through a couple, and this week I want to talk about the curse of what we call the deaf. Deaf, D-E-F, means you cannot hear, and dumb curse, and the curse of jealousy. And I'm going to go through sort of a tree, what we would call the strong man of these curses, and all the different areas or fruits of these different curses that come into our life and our soul and our eternal part of us and even our physical body, and how that in spiritual care we deal with that, and how the mental health treatment and therapy would deal with it. So do you have anything you want to say, Victoria? Is anybody on the line yet?
Nope, we don't have anyone on the line. I'm just going to be listening.
Okay. All right. Where I'm getting a lot of this information was what I was taught when I started learning how to help people the Lord's way. When I was asked by the Lord, I'm a Christian, to put my license as a mental health counselor down after about 10 years in professional work in hospitals, drug rehab, private practice, and pick up being a pastor. I went to Bible college at home, you know, it was online. And I was almost an ordained pastor in the Assemblies of God, but my calling to work with people out of hardcore abuse, witchcraft, the occult, didn't quite fit in the little box of the Assemblies. So I didn't get ordination, and I separated from them to go sort of non-denominational. And one of the books that I studied during that time was called Strong Man, His Name, What is His Game? And it was a biblical approach to dealing with curses, trauma, child abuse, things that were happening in people's lives that they could not explain, that maybe had been seen in their parents or their grandparents. And somehow now they were starting to do the same things. And it was written by doctors Jerry and Carol Robinson, who had been missionary evangelists in Costa Rica. They ran into some things that the Assemblies did not teach on, which was the curses in somebody's life. So I had to study this because we started to see things happen with people that I had never seen. And the very first time it happened, I said to myself, oh dear, if the mental health community would see the behaviors of this person, we're going to call the 911 and get a straitjacket. And I wasn't afraid, but I had never seen people. I had worked in psychiatric hospitals, state mental institutions, jails. I had never seen such weird stuff, and of course there was no training in mental health counseling. So in helping an adult survivor of child trauma, could mean maybe your mother died, your father died, a brother, sister died, grandma died, you have some strange family customs, you have some, maybe your house gets blown away in a tornado and you're a child. Or you're around the world and you're in war, or you get sick at an early age, or one of your family members die. We learned when you take trauma-informed care, any of those things can bring abuse, neglect, can cut our anchor of agape love in our life. We don't get comforted. We don't know how to deal with the trauma. Because our parents don't know how to do it. And in many families, they go, we don't talk, just suck it up, deal with it. And you're a child and you don't even know what you're dealing with. And many children, after they've had trauma or maybe a death in the family or like, you know, a tornado comes and they have great fear, they start hearing things under the bed or seeing their toys move or stuffed animals talking. Strange things happening, and they can't explain it. And if they talk to, you know, a mental health therapist, a child therapist, it sort of comes out. If you've ever had worked with children who have been sexually abused, which I have, they do the play therapy, and they have dolls, and they want you to talk, to say what happened to you. Of course, a lot of that is for evidence, you know, in a courtroom. And so the child who, you know, was probably told to shh, keep our secret, you know, I don't want anybody to get hurt, and so they don't talk. And so a therapist, a child therapist, is usually records a child trying to get evidence, you know, to go into court to come against the perpetrators. And, of course, child therapists are trained in that, and how to do play therapy. And one of the things I used to do as a psychological tester was we would have them draw with crayons or colored pencils a picture of a house, a tree, and a person. And we were trained whatever colors of the crayons or colored pencils they used, that was very important. If they drew a house with no windows or doors, told us something about home life. If they drew a picture of a person with their back turned to you or no eyes, or they used black or color purple, that all was nonverbal communication to a therapist that there had been some trouble and trauma in the house. This was with children or adults. And so I did that a lot of tests, that kind of testing. And so a play therapist will have you color pictures or just draw. And they're looking to see what nonverbal communication, you are putting on a piece of paper. Because you're trying to express, and what colors of the crayons or the colored pencils you use. I used to do those kind of tests along with a lot of like Beck Depression Scale, the multiple personality scale, IQ testing. I used to do neuropsych testing for a neuropsychologist with head injury patients and even people who've had a stroke or maybe with Alzheimer's. So I had a lot of psychological, psychiatric type of experience. And then also my son at 5 years old fell out of the bed, hit his head, and had a trauma. It actually bled, and we were in the emergency room, and he started having seizures. He would just blank out and walk off. And his brain had gotten hurt, and we had to get him. For a while, they thought he was the worst case of ADD, attention deficit disorder. But that is a 24-hour, he didn't act that way in church, didn't act that way at home or in the grocery, only in school. So they said his brain was injured. We did a lot of neuropsych testing, and I put him on Tegretol. So if a child has had any kind of physical trauma, hitting to the head, slapping, beatings, kicked in the head, knocked down, there can be a brain injury in the child that causes issues as well. Now, I don't know if that in nowadays, in child abuse, if they look at the brain. My son used to get brain tested. They'd put little wires all on his head that shine lights, sound music, speak, and they'd watch the neural, electrical, chemical stuff going on in his brain and to see if it was normal or was it shorting out. And we did that for years. So I had a lot of knowledge about the biological brain and trauma, what's normal, what's not. You know, you fall out of a car or you have a head injury, get kicked in the head, you know, some people get that. And they have a head trauma and their behaviors change. So in sexual abuse, some kids get really beaten up. And they've had a lot of beatings even before that. So in defining what occurs is you could just be beaten and words coming, I'm going to kill you, or you're no good, or I didn't want you, and they beat you. So words come in bringing the curses, trauma to the head happens from a physical beating, and you've got really a lot of damage done. Hello, I'm back.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Oh, my.
Yeah. Well, what happened? Yeah. You got very quiet for a long time, and I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, I couldn't get my volume to work again. I got to bring my phone in. Yeah, but, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So what I had to learn...
I just gave the number out. Nobody's called in, and I just gave the number out again. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't expect a lot of people to call it. Summertime, you know, and people are doing, but I make a video, you know, out of this, and I put it on YouTube, and LinkedIn and everything else. Can you still hear me?
Yeah. Why don't you let people know how they can find you on other platforms too?
Okay. They can go to my website. It might be on there. It can be in an audio podcast under Pastor Deborah's podcast. The website is www.agapeloveishere.org. I put it on Twitter, which is Pastor Deborah Schleich. I put it on LinkedIn under Pastor Deborah Schleich. And it always goes up on the Hidden Kingdoms YouTube channel in a video. I take the audio and make a beautiful video with music and present it. And so it gets out that way. But what I learned, can you still hear me?
Yeah, we can still hear you, hon. Yep. And matter of fact, my friend Vinny is here too with me. He's
who?
Listening. Matter of fact, he's trying. Vinny, my roommate.
Vinny.
And
yeah, Vinny.
He was wondering if you spell agape love.
Okay. A-G-A-P-E. L-O-V-E.
Okay.
It's .org. That's the website. But where you can see most... A lot of times I don't put the videos on there. I got so many others. But if you go to the Hidden Kingdoms YouTube channel, it'll be there in the playlist of live radio shows.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay. And what happened is I've got about 1,000 videos up of teaching, and I try to help people understand recovery and healing from a mental health side. And if you had got into addictions of any kind, which is different than mental health counseling. They are separate. Okay. The mental health psychiatrist, he knows you can get detoxified, but you could still have depression, which is a chemical imbalance in your brain. You could still have anxiety, which is fear, even though you have been detoxified from alcohol or drugs. In mental health and healing, they look at depression, anxiety, multiple personalities, psychiatric disorders. But addictions, drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, that is not a disease to them. Okay? It's just totally different. And, of course, you know, if you get into a lot of type of alcohol and drugs, your body becomes addicted to the drugs and alcohol. And so I had to learn. I actually worked with a state of Florida drug prevention group. I worked with a local community drug prevention group. When I was years ago, even before I was licensed, I worked with an inpatient and outpatient adult and juvenile drug treatment program. And I would go to the sheriff's department, and they would have a big, tall, I guess I'd call it a folder, of all illegal drugs. And they would allow me to take that. I went into schools, went into juvenile detentions. I went and would take it and show the people, do drug education. I was into educational. I worked in public schools as a drug prevention therapist with juveniles, with children, and with college kids. So I had such a variety of experience in education, mental health, and then into the pastor part. And in the pastor part, the spiritual care part, is when the word curses came up. And I like to tell the story when I was volunteering in the local crisis stabilization unit of Lakeview Center, where if you are acting weird and the police come to your house and they arrest you and they take you, they Baker Act you, and you go to this unit and you see a psychiatrist. And I had this one precious black guy was telling me he felt like he was being spiritually attacked. I said, what do you mean? Now, I'm in a psychiatric inpatient unit. He said, well, my parents are into voodoo, but I don't want to be into voodoo. And I think they are spiritually attacking me through voodoo. And that's why I'm acting weird, and I think things are coming against me. What would you do with that comment? If you were a mental health therapist, psychiatrist, what would you think about that man who says he's under spiritual attack from his parents through voodoo? I, as a pastor, could talk to that. If I was talking to that as a mental health counselor, I would have had no answers. I would say, you got some issues. And does Benny have any questions so far?
No, I don't. I'm following you just fine.
Okay. So I had the foundation of helping people from mental health counseling, testing, psychiatric stuff, inpatient, jails, okay, drug and alcohol. And I didn't know when I was doing all this, all of those experiences were going to help me to be a good teacher. Then I got into a church, sort of wanted to do Christian counseling, but that didn't work out. But I got involved in what they call the personal ministry team. We would bring people and sit them in a room, and we would go through some of these things, like this two curses and death spirits, or the dumb and deaf curse, and the curse of jealousy. And in helping people with spiritual care, you always ask them, do they want to be healed? You had to recognize they don't really know what's wrong with them. Even in mental health counseling, most patients, as clients is what they're called, don't know what's wrong. They're not right. They don't feel right, but they can't tell you why. And so I always just had to know that you wanted to be free and clean and healed. But you may not have any idea what's wrong. So we had to study different curses. And curses were, you might call them evil things, bad luck, never having any success in your life, negativity, always feeling like people are against you. Or you might get named after a grandfather or a father or an uncle. And you start acting, and you might even look like one of your relatives. And you can be cursed from a religion, culture, traditions. It comes through actions and words. So I want to take this first one called the death, D-E-A-F, means you can't hear right. You're not, and I, sometimes when I would talk to somebody, I would make a statement. And I had to learn that they may not have heard what I said correctly. So I would ask them, please repeat back to me what I just said. And they would say something. I go, that's not what I said. And they would say to me, but that's what I heard. When you've had abuse as a child, abandonment, rejection, physical beating, starvation, anything, trauma, when people or a therapist or the world talks to you, you probably don't hear exactly what they say. And so you misinterpret what people say. So in this big, what we learned in spiritual care is there were strong men, we call them that, like a big tree. And they would have different fruit on them that when this curse would come into your life through words, actions, maybe we learned in person, spiritual care, they could come through a sexual act, the soul ties, because what was in the perpetrator has now attacked, broken into without permission, and has taken, we'll say, territory. And what's in them has a right to come into the child. Never heard of curses in mental health counseling. Heard of genetics. That, you know, like sickle cell anemia is genetics. Your hair color, your bone structure. Now, they're starting to say things like depression and other things. You could be predisposed to it because it's in the family. Now, they wouldn't call it a curse. They just call it predisposition or something like that. So we had different terms, and they didn't know why. Like, you act like Grandpa. You sound just like him. You don't know why. You act just like your brother. You act like your father. You don't know why. So, but in spiritual care, the word curse, it wasn't a blessing. It wasn't a good thing in your life. It came through trauma, situations, sexual abuse, physical abuse, war, and you had a mess in your life. So in this death and dumb, D-U-M-B is what it was called, curse, you would have crying. You would start crying for no reason. Weeping. Uncontrollably. At nighttime. In your dreams. When you were at work. You're oversensitive to people saying things to you. You don't know when it would happen. You might feel like you're drowning sometimes in your dreams, or you can't take a breath. And something's choking you, and you're grasping for air, and you don't know why. You might have some kind of blindness. You might have so much fear, you can't see straight. You know, you freeze. You might get temporary physically blind, or you can't see the colors the way you can. It can be a physical response. As well as, we'll say, the eyes of your heart cannot see the good intentions from somebody else, because you're always expecting bad things to happen. Mental illness comes in these two, because your mind, your biological brain, has issues. It cannot hear words correctly. Everything's scrambled in there. I love you means abuse. I care about you means I'm going to abandon you. You remind me of your father. Well, that's not nice if he's bad. And you could have, there's no peace in there, in your mind. And of course, at the same time, this I learned in mental, spiritual care, is this happens to our spirit part of us as well. So a lot of our mental illnesses that people have, depression, anxiety, is from this curse that comes into your life. Another one is you feel suicidal. I just don't want to live. I can't take it anymore. Hear people, you know, they're lying to me all the time. Their words aren't true. Their actions aren't right. You know, I'm waiting for them to hurt me. Can't trust them. Why should I live? You know, hopelessness. And these are all internal thoughts that are going on the inside that you don't speak about to anybody. You might actually get to the point where you have seizures and epilepsy. Your brain's biological, chemistry, neuroelectrical is short-circuiting. Your chemicals are messed up. Your thoughts are messed up. There's no peace. You don't know how to recover when somebody at work or friend says something to you. And if you throw alcohol and drugs on top of abuse, you are a mess. You might have some ear problems, could have some earaches. You don't hear well. Your hearing's going. Because in order for your brain, once you study hearing and the ear, it is vital that you hear people. Like I said, I always ask people, when I'm talking to them. Repeat what I just said. And they repeat it, but it wasn't the words and it wasn't the meaning I meant. And I go, that's not what I said. They go, but that's what I heard. What I learned, there are what we call scramblers between my mouth and your ears. And there are stuff in the brain that's happened. Like if you get a child who's getting abused and somebody says, I love you, and they are sexually or physically abusing you, or inside you think my mother's supposed to love me, but she's rejecting me. You're hearing one thing, believing something, but something else is happening. Some people get hit and kicked in the ears on the side. Some kids get slapped on the face, kicked by feet. There can be biological ear damage. But the main thing is, are your words that are spoken to you in mental health counseling and from a spiritual care need to be heard and understood. Sometimes you'll people at nighttime, they will gnash, grind their teeth. You might do that when somebody's talking to you. You are exerting pressure. You might clench your fist. Your foot is jumping up and down, but you're not saying a word. You could have this bent anger. And at nighttime, my brother did this. He'd grind his teeth because it's a muscle and a nerve reaction to anxiety, fear. There's no peace in you. Some people, you've seen them, they'll foam at the mouth when it gets so bad. You know, but sort of like their stomach is so upset, they're throwing back up. Some people will pine away. Just, you know, just so sad. No hope. Have no energy. There's nothing good in the world. Why care even about what I eat or wear or anything? It's called pining away. Some people will just feel like they're always burning and itching and, you know, their nerves are on edge all the time and they're maybe hot and, you know, just burning, you know, have this, you know, they don't know why. So what I learned is that people have issues spiritually and in their biological brain as a result of sexual child abuse, rejection, beating, neglect, malnutrition. Sometimes in a family, everybody's treated wonderful except one child. And don't know why. So I'll stop and let Victoria, you or Vinny or anybody else make a comment.
I'm just curious why you're referring to it as a curse.
It's sort of a way of, a curse is something that's not good in your life. It can be spoken. It's something that people can relate to, even because I do ministry on LinkedIn and other places. I go, I've had bad luck curse my whole life. Now, they are very ignorant of a lot of spiritual things, but they want prayers to get rid of this bad influence, this bad. So it is a way of not really offending too many non-spiritual people. So I use the word curse, which means something that's not good, usually a evil thing, something that has no blessings in your life. Does that help you understand why I use the word curse?
Yeah, it's just a pretty heavy word, but I got another question. Do you believe in spiritual warfare then?
Yes. And one of the things I would do when I would I used to work in this church, and people would come in and they'd start acting weird. The very first thing I would break off were generational curses back 10,000 generations. And when I did that, oh my gosh, the reaction that would happen in the people, you needed to hold them down with the security guard. Because I was tapping into something unseen they didn't know about, but I knew. And I was going back 10,000 generations. Now, I will use my brother as a four generations back on my father's side, who was from Northern Ireland. There was a lady who fell in love with a Druid high priest from Northern Ireland. She got pregnant and she had a firstborn son. The Druid high priest wanted that son to sacrifice it to their god. She wanted to keep it, so she made a deal with the Druid high priest and his god that in four generations they could have her firstborn male grandson, and that was my brother. I didn't know this till after my brother became mentally ill, ran away from home, caused all kinds of problems. And how it worked was my father was in the military. He would go, my brother was born, and then my dad would have to go over to Saudi Arabia or the Philippines during World War II in an unaccompanied tour for a year. So it was my mother and my brother bonding together. Then my dad would come home, and my mother wanted to be with her husband. So my brother started feeling rejection, not wanted, form of sacrifice. And this would go on for 3 or 4 years. Then I was born. I was 4 years younger. Mom has to take care of me. He's feeling rejection, abandonment again by mother, which is the curse that she put on him. Now, he had already been baptized into the Christian belief, so they couldn't kill him through the curse. But he became mentally ill because of the rejection, the abandonment, and all of this, and caused him to have mental health issues. I did not learn that till many, many years later. So our family history, what our, you know, I was four generations back. In America, back in the 1920s, everybody played the Ouija board. They had seances. It was normal. There was nothing abnormal about it. We had in-laws and family members that did seances, trying to contact spiritual things. They did the Ouija board, and that runs through our family. So I learned in spiritual care about generational curses. Now, in mental health counseling, you might call it predisposition, genetics. You know, you're great. They look at, I'll use me. My mother was missing all the wisdom teeth and two teeth up front. I never got one wisdom tooth in my mouth or my tooth right next to my front teeth. And they said if I had a girl child, she probably would not have it either. Genetics, generational things. A lot of us have our body shapes, our hair, our height, our genes are passed down genetically. So in mental health, they understand genetics, generational things. You might, you know, some of it skips a generation. And you look like Grandpa. You got his nose. Your hair is like him. I understood that. But then I started seeing some things like depression. Where'd that come from? Or other things. And then you start talking to the people, And I say, yeah, I had an aunt like that, or one of my cousins or aunts or my grandfather. They were just like that. And they gave me his name. So sometimes we are named after family members. And that name can bring in, I hope you guys weren't here last week. If you ever hear the word Adrian, beautiful sounding name, but it means dark lord. So if you name something and you don't know the meaning of it, you could be calling your son or daughter a horrible name. You're giving it its image, its nature, its essence. My name is Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H. It means judge, Hebrew language. So I had to study names, what we name our children, where they come from, who are they named after. And a lot of people don't know. So the name can bring your essence, your image, your likeness, a curse, a blessing. And so I had to study names. And so in spiritual care, I got exposed to many spiritual stuff, warfare, battles, things you cannot see, could not explain in mental health counseling. But I learned. Quiet and let you guys talk or make comments.
I'm okay over here. I'd just like you to keep going.
Okay. The next one I want to talk about is the curse of jealousy. All right? And that can come through, like I said, behaviors, pass through words. And here's what you get with it. Murder. Somebody has murderous thoughts, actions. Because they're really jealous. Because they're not loved. They're not wanted. And you'll see that most of your prisoners, they have gotten rejected, abused, and through jealousy that somebody's got something they don't have, it's just love, they attack and they will murder. Another is anger and rage will come up with this curse. Because I'm angry. Because you got something I don't have. Why do you have it and I don't? Why am I being abused and you're not? So there's rage. Rage is deeper than just anger. And remember, when you have these thoughts and these feelings from these curses, from your abuse as a child, it will affect your biological body. It will make you want to have some peace. You might want to do drugs, alcohol, smoke cigarettes. You want some fun and enjoyment in your life. Another one is revenge and spite. I'm going to get back at them. Okay. And you have these thoughts and these feelings. And it's not healthy for the biological body because there's a lot of chemicals going off when you have it. Another one, you become very cruel. In mental health counseling, we knew if a child started hurting animals in a young age, destroying things, setting fires, we got a problem. Might be only 5 years old or 8 years old. Mental health knows there has been abuse, trauma, rejection. Something has happened to that child, that they are hurting innocent things already. There is hatred. Hatred is the lack of love, forgiveness, mercy. It is so powerful. It is so full of jealousy and anger and rage. It's to the point of such a burning fire in somebody. I hate other people who aren't getting abused. I hate my brothers and sisters. I hate my dad. I hate this. Okay. Powerful. And they may never speak about it, but they could kind of every once in a while it'll come out of their mouth like, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. and then they kind of power back. That's where you see a lot of kids. They just murder their parents. Or, you know, they hate them. They hate what they did to them. They take justice into their own hands and revenge, and they just deal with this stuff. And we've seen cases, you know, where the kids have killed their parents, and husbands have, you know, maybe jealous or want to get rid of their wife or something because they want something else, and you're in my way. Strife. They're always arguing, talking. And it can be, maybe they never say anything, but inside of them, there's a war going on in their thoughts. Their body is responding to all their thoughts. There's extreme competition that's happening. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to show the world that I'm the best. Sometimes sports is that way. It's so extreme, and there's some extreme sports because they're trying to prove to themselves and other people they are worthy of being admired. They are worthy of love, admiration, respect. Because they've been abused. There are people that are envy, which is sort of like jealousy, but I'm envious. You got something I don't have. You got something from the parents that I didn't get. What my childhood wasn't yours. Envious of you. And another one is they can cause divisions. My brother was good at this. He always blamed me for everything in the family. Always causing problems. Always fights. Never a wonderful family meal once he got old. Blame my dad. Never his mom. Okay? But I was the problem. I needed to take responsibility. I'm 4 years younger. All this had already happened. But that's how he survived. It wasn't his fault. I'm taking my psychiatric medication, and I'm going to my psychiatrist, but not to counseling. And one time I asked him, I said, he was in the sheltered workshop with a special supervisor. He did not have responsibility to raise his kids. He had to be supervised at work. And one day I asked him, I said, you're under your psychiatrist, right? You're taking the right medication, right? You're doing everything. Yeah, yeah. And your brain's getting balanced out with the chemo. It actually was lithium, which is made from pig's urine salt. And then they moved him to Tegretol. He said, yes. And he was, okay. I said, then how come if your brain is balanced out with the medicine that you are still in a special workshop having special supervisors, and you can't work a 40-hour week, raise your kids, be a responsible father? What is wrong? He says, you're messing with my mind. See, he didn't want to go where he needed to go. It wasn't his fault. It was my fault, and it was his dad's fault. And he was what they diagnosed him being a borderline personality, which means he's got one foot as a child. Doesn't want to be responsible for anything. It's not his fault. He's not the problem. And he's got another foot in adulthood. And he didn't, and it was never his fault. It was everybody else's fault. So he doesn't need psychiatry. He doesn't need counseling. We needed it. And I had to learn it. I didn't know this when I was younger. And all I knew was my home life was never peaceful. And there was always fighting. Crying, yelling, people, him running away from home, stealing the car, getting thrown in jail in California. Nobody's talking. There's no family therapy, nothing. And I didn't know till many years later when I got into spiritual care work about the generational curses and the things that were going on. So I'll be quiet and let you guys make comments, okay?
Yeah, I'm back. I had to go kick. We got three puppies here. I don't know if Vinny told you, but he's helping me out, which I appreciate it. He's a good helper. But the generational abuse is just there's just so much about it that we're just discovering. We could have a whole show on just that. And people talking about, you know, because I think people are learning more, too, about their family. And yeah, I found out that my mom was abused, and then I found out my dad was abused, and then I found, you know what I mean? And a lot of people are finding out a lot more information these days because it's being talked about more. So that's, that's a very, you know, big positive, I think, for us to be able to get more information.
In healing, in mental health, you know, the therapists understand genetics. They understand generational curses, you know, like father, like son. There's not a lot of classes in it. They kind of get it in workshops or in books or in something that they read. But in spiritual care work, it is so much different. I had the wonderful experience of knowing both worlds to see how you can help. There's nothing wrong with mental health counseling, being on psychiatric medication, being doing a recovery for gambling, addiction. We need it all. The biological body gets messed up.
Same physical doctor. Like you said in their introduction, mind, body, or emotional, physical, and spiritual, you know. We have to go to your doctor and then, you know, therapist or physical support, and then there's spiritual support. And
that's
when I feel like real off, I'm like, something's out of balance. It's one of those three things. I'm just not getting what I need, you know?
Okay. Now, here's how it works. The pattern can go this way. One, the abuse comes in through the physical body and to the soul, okay? So those two parts are a mess. Then there's the spiritual part of us that also gets abused, not from that, but from something else. The pattern for healing is usually in from spiritual care is this. The spirit must first get knowledge, information, and have a desire to be healed. Then the spirit passes that knowledge, desire to the soul. You might have a thought, I really want to be healed. You may not know where it comes from. And out of the Bible, you would hear David, when his family was trying to kill him, King David, he would, in his inner world, his inner thoughts, his spirit would speak to his soul and say, soul, that's your feelings from your biological brain. Why are you so depressed today? Why are you so downcast? I know your son's trying to kill us. It is not a good time, but you are coming with me into the presence of the Lord. I'm not, the spirit says to itself, the soul, I'm not going to let you sit here in this depression. We're going to go listen to a good music. So the spirit has to get some type of spiritual care healing. It speaks to the soul. Then the soul, when it gets better biologically, the chemicals are much better, calmer, the biological body feels better. Sometimes people have brittle bones because they have no love in their life. They've been rejected, abandoned. People don't understand this three-part system. It's not taught to your biological doctors. They only know the body. They love the body. The body is so important. The psychiatrist in mental health counseling, the mental health counselor, is under the medical language of a psychiatrist. First, he's a doctor. Then he studies the brain, the tumors, the chemicals, the nerves, the neurons, the dendrites, all of that. head injuries. And then when the psychologist used to do the testing and was employed by a psychiatrist, then they broke off years ago on their own. Still did the testing. And the psychiatrists don't do a lot of the neuropsych testing, the psychologist does. The master's level person was more of a talk. We're going to sit and kind of talk about things. Then you had to learn hypnotism to get you into the subconscious, that part that was hidden. I never learned that. I knew that.
1 minute left. How about less than that? 30 seconds. How about if we get...
It's 8:30.
No?
It only goes
to 8. Oh, it goes to 8:30?
Yeah.
Oh, I looked at the clock wrong. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're doing great. I'm sorry. I was going to continue next, next
so
time you're on.
When
the
I was...
Sorry. All right.
When I was in mental health counseling, okay, now remember, there are classes you take to get your license. My license in Florida was under the Medical Quality Assurance Department. I could diagnose you after I talked to you with using the Diagnostic Statistical Manual. Like depression had a number. And the insurance, to get paid, I had to talk in numbers. And you had to talk in medical language. In spiritual care, it's totally different language, totally different issues. I mean, some of it's still, we call it depression, but you don't hear about curses in mental health. You hear maybe genetic disposition, okay, passed down through the generations. You hear about generational abuse, okay. Sometimes you go, hey, this hasn't been happening for thousands of years in our culture. It's approved of in our religion. In America, out in Texas years ago, the state came against the Mormons, the FDLS, I think. And the men who are 40 or 50 years old would have one legal wife in a legal marriage, and then they'd have lots of spiritual brides, children who just turned into puberty or under, to have more children because they wanted to take the virginity of these child. They wanted innocent children. So the child bride, spiritual bride, would get pregnant, and then they would apply to the United States government for WIC. Mothers who had no husband, but they had a single parent. But they have a spiritual marriage to this man. And the state stepped in and said, you can't do that anymore. You have to wait till that girl's at least 16 or something. But that was religion, culture.
Yeah.
But it was still a child abuse. In Islam, children are sold to older men.
Right.
And because the parents need money, parents need money, the girls are, you know, they're good to deal with contracts, business deals. A father's a gambler, he owes debts, you sell your child. Mother's a gambler, they get in debt, they sell the child. And in Islam, they really don't do abortions because the children...
Here in Minnesota, we had a lady who they found out she was a grandmother who was taking care of her granddaughter, and she was turning her out into prostitution, and they weren't going to charge her because they were like, well, you know, she needed money for food to feed that kid. It was nice enough for her to take and stuff, and it's like, what? I mean, all kinds of roundabout bullshit excuses to me. Pretty it up, tie a bow on it. It's horrible.
It's culturally accepted. People turn the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's religiously, okay? Oh, they're poor. Okay, they need the money. But this has been going on for thousands and thousands and thousands.
My dad is able to be abused me too, so I know what people can do with religion. It's bullshit.
Okay. So what I had to learn is I had, in spiritual care, I had to study all different cultures,
right?
Ancient religions, ancient marriage, slavery, poverty. I had to study and understand much more than a mental health counselor ever understood. I had to understand spiritual marriages. I had to understand the religions, but I had to understand what was happening. And so I had to study. I did a lot of books, histories, ancient stuff, all kinds of things. That was never taught or talked about in mental health. You just did child abuse. It was the parents, the uncle. Mm-hmm. That was it. Religion was not brought up. Selling your children to pay your debts was not brought up.
Right.
Prostitution was not brought up. I get very angry now. In human trafficking, they say the human trafficker is out there on social media grooming the girls or boys to get them. I said, excuse me? The parents, the aunts, the uncles, the grandmothers, they are the first groomers. They neglected the child. They abused the child. They So the child is looking for love, affection on social media. The parents get them ready for that. But the society, the law, the judges, the legislatures, they don't want to tackle parenting. They don't want to tackle religion, prostitution. Human trafficking is big business. Those girls and guys will grow up to be call girls. There's a lot of homosexuals. They need them out in Las Vegas. They need them when the Super Bowl comes. They need the high-end call girls. They need them in Playboy magazine. They need them in porn movies.
Yeah.
It started back in with the parents of that, and that society doesn't want to go there. So I, as a person who heals people, I have to know that that all goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that comes to me on LinkedIn, Skype, emails, the phone, asking me to pray with them, they're hurting. I have to be like the doctor in the emergency room. I've had to spend years studying the body, mental stuff. I try to tell people, somebody comes in with a gunshot wound. I'm not concerned who did the shooting and what the stuff. I'm trying to save your life right now. And I don't have a lot of time to ask you a lot of questions because you're bleeding to death. That's how I operate. I am not a soft, oh, I feel so sorry, please tell me your story. I already know their story because God said everybody that I bring to you on the phone, prayers, on social media, they've all been abused. I already know what to do. I don't have to ask you questions except one. I just ask you one. Do you want to be healed? I've asked a lot of people who have called me from NASCA, 50 and 60-year-old people, and they just want to pour out, poor woe is me. And I go, excuse me? When was the last time you were in therapy? Are you on medication? Are you on peer support? Are you going to group therapy? No. But they want to take my time, my energy, because I got an enemy who wants to steal my time, my sleep from me through people who don't want to get healed. They don't even want to do therapy. Don't want to be on vacation. But they're lonely. And they're bored. I'd say, you go back to therapy, you get in counseling, you call your therapist, you get in the group. I knew NASCA had, you know, the peer support, the Zoom. They had the radio show. They got counselors you can call, you know.
Right.
But I wouldn't put up with them.
So much out there these days that you can, you know, even if it's not NASCA, there's so much out there. You know, and we have to.
That is correct.
So look around and find what fits for you, you know, because like everybody says, oh, if you want to get sober, you got to go to AA. And it's not for everybody, you know. It's just like one thing is not for everyone. And that's why NASCA.
That is correct.
People on the show.
Some people go to the gym and they get their body in order and things start getting healed. Some people just eat better and things sort of straighten out. Some people break up with bad people, and they do more positive things, and think, God set me at home for 2 years. He said, you're going to sit at home. I go, why? He says, you need some healing. I go, from what? How about 30 or 40 years of ick? And I'm going, what am I going to do? No community work. I had to write my stories. And then I thought to myself, well, you know, there was a guy years ago named Martin Luther. He wrote the 95 Theses and started the Protestant Reformation. He got arrested by a king who loved him to protect him from the Catholic Church, put him in a castle, and he stayed there for 2 years by himself. And what he did was he took the Latin Bible and translated it into the German common language. And I said to myself, if he can write and do some positive things that will affect generations to come, I can sit at home and let God heal me. What I do, I do normal household stuff and cut the grass and do the laundry. I had a son at home at the time. I'd sit in a chair and read Psalms, close my eyes, and I don't know what happened. 2 years he made me do that. So some people get healing that way. From what? You have no idea. Some people, it's one prayer, and God does it work in the spirit. He does it in dreams. You meet somebody. You go someplace. You watch a movie. Hear a song. But God has a way of doing
it. Right.
But when people don't even choose mental health or AA or peer support, they don't want to get healed. They want to sit in their mess. And I used to challenge people, and I'd say, now, let me tell you. You're on social. I'd ask them, you know, you're 40 years old or 20. You're on Social Security, disability, because, you know, you've been abused. Yes, yes. All right. Do you want to get healed? Oh, yes, 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 yes. Okay. If God heals you from prayer or you go to counseling, you're going to have to give up your Social Security disability. You're going to have to get a job and work 40 hours a week like the rest of us. You're going to have to be a responsible parent and a responsible citizen. And I go, well, I don't want to give up my money. You have to. You're no longer disabled if you get healed. I don't want to go to work. Well, then you don't want to be healed. Well, yeah, I do, because I don't feel good and I don't like this. There's healing, but once you get healed, you got to give up the stuff, and some people don't want to give up the money.
It's a process too. I think some people say that a person that's been on disability is going to say, "Well, I can't go from where I'm at right now to 4 hours a week," and it seems like such a leap. They just figure I'll stay in my comfort zone because
that's
they're scared.
Right.
Not going to be able to, like,
well,
exercise
here's the thing
with it. I started out with my exercise just going a block down the road, you know, and then I went a little bit more. And the thing is that I thought I could get up to walking as much as I do, but, or do as much help, you know, things around my yard and stuff. But it takes, you know, it takes small little pieces to know that, you know, to get support along the way, like you said, you know, whatever support.
What we learned in mental health counseling, people get injured on the job, okay? And they get disability. and they get with a lawyer and they get a lot of money. But they also get a lot of secondary psychological support. They become their disability. Poor woe is me, I can't do anything. You have to have pity for me, and you have to have sympathy, and you have to comfort me because I'm disabled. And people would get this psychological support that they did not get when they were healthy, and they don't want to give that up.
Yeah.
And I always checked with people, and some people I knew, they didn't know what healing was. They didn't know the rules, what it meant to be healed. They knew the rules being an abused person. They didn't know how to act with other people. They didn't know how to give up their disassociative parts. And then some, they were right up front. No, I'm not going to give up my money. I don't want to be healed, but I want you to take your time and comfort me all night long and listen to my poor woe is me. But I'm not going to therapy. I'm not going to be on medication. I don't want to exercise. I don't want to eat right. I won't take the time with them because they're trying to steal my energy, my peace, and time.
Yeah.
And I'll be quiet now and let you and Vinny talk.
Oh, that's really important, too, that, you know, for survivors that are helping other people is that, you know, to take care of ourselves, too, because that can be really a difficult thing when we're not used to taking care of ourselves and setting limits on our time. Like you said, you know, you have a limited amount of time. And I'm having the same issue with trying to balance things. Mm-hmm.
All right, listen to me. That's a view of mental health counseling. Spiritual work is this. I have an enemy, and he wants to steal my peace, my joy. So I don't have time. I have no desire. I'm not in the peace of the Lord. I don't have the joy of the Lord. He wants to steal that from me. And he'll use abused people who don't want to get healing to do this, to do that. And I had to know that in spiritual care. But I didn't know that in mental health counseling. Because the rules were, you don't call me at nighttime, Victoria. You see me for 50 minutes. And I'll see you in 2 weeks. We control when you talk to us. But in peer-to-peer, story of work, we're a 24-hour, 7-day. I get phone calls at 2 o'clock in the morning from people. Okay? From all over the United States and the world. I was in Pakistan today on a video call teaching a pastor who teaches children how to help the children pray for each other. On a video call, while I'm trying to do other, I'm over in Pakistan with a Christian children's pastor. My work in spiritual part is 20. Then I'm trying to move through the Islamic world. There's billions. There's more of them than Christians. How about the gangs in San El Salvador, MS-13 come out of, who's praying and trying to minister to them? How about the girls in the brothels, the prostitutes on the streets? So my vision, I have to rest. God don't put up with people. We saw this in mental health counseling. They were called psychological lingerers. They wanted to be sick. They never wanted to come out of, they wanted the money. They wanted the psychological comfort. They didn't want to get well. And so we didn't waste our time with them. They didn't want to work. This one lady, when I was a chaplain in the hospital, she had gallbladder surgery, not a major thing, way overweight. They told her to get up and walk around the, you know, down the hallway. She didn't want to do it. It was too much pain. She got a blood clot and died because she couldn't deal with pain. I had been there, and I was looking at heart transplants. And I said, I had a choice. I could sit in that bed and let that be my bed of affliction, or I could get up and slow and hang on to the rail and slowly, slowly walk down the hallway. I had a choice to stay in the bed or get up. I'm a toughie, but some people go, it's too much work, too painful. I don't want to talk. Just comfort me. And I just knew, you are not here to do, you don't want healing. And if you could be used against me to steal my joy, my peace, my strength, I can't help the millions of other people. So I would tell them, don't call me. You get in therapy, you call and get a counselor, and you get in a group support or something. So I don't put up with a lot of that stuff. I've been around it so long. Mm-hmm. And,
or whatever, what is it that you do then, so people know what they'd be calling you, so they're calling you for the right reasons.
Now, okay.
Uh-huh.
In mental health counseling, you build your reputation with your conferences you go to, the place that you work in, the conferences. You meet people, you network, you get on. You work with vocational rehabilitation. You got to meet a lot of requirements. Okay, you work in different areas. You get training in domestic violence. You get this and that. In spiritual care, a lot of people just want to read scriptures to you, but that doesn't work. A lot of pastors, they have had no training. And here's how I got started. I was in a church during praise and worship time, and I hear the Holy Spirit in Christianity ask me a question. He said, what is the desires of your heart? I said, to be a spiritual mother. I had one biological child, could not have any more. So that of all of these people who've been abused all over the world, LGBT, gang members, homosexuals, heavy metal music people, drug addicts, Satanists, witches, so I could be their spiritual mother, adopt them, set that anchor, and turn their hearts to the Father. And the Holy Spirit said, it is done. I was anointed. Everybody becomes my spiritual child. I'm out on LinkedIn talking to Islamic people, okay? And I say, love Pastor Deborah. Your spiritual mother. Then they'll go look at my profile and they'll see Christian. And then I get all these likes, and then they'll message me. Then they'll email me, would you pray for me? I got a guy in Dubai, he's got bad thoughts. Would you pray for me and my kids and my wife? I send them videos of music things. I send them my YouTube videos. I send audio prayers. Dear, I'll say, I pray for you that this bad luck will be destroyed. I try not to use Jesus Christ. Some of them are checking it out. I have people say, I got this negativity. It was on LinkedIn. Could you help me? No problem. And I speak to that negativity. You will dispel yourself and leave, and all positive energy will come. And they email me back or message, and they go, thank you, it's just gone. I just did deliverance work without saying much on social media. Then they get attracted. God will draw them to you. And they go, I don't know what it is about that lady. Her voice, her video, or something different. She's not religious. She has no church. She takes no tithes. She doesn't charge for anything. What is it about her? And they're drawn. People get drawn when you speak correctly. Your words are full of love, hope, and peace. And you don't have to ask them any questions. So I'll be quiet. It's about 8:23. So you guys can, you know, kind of close it out, you know, make your final comments if you want to. and I'll be quiet.
Well, I'm glad you really mentioned the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ himself, but especially the Holy Spirit, because Victoria and I were talking about in AA meetings that, you know, I believe God talks through me in AA meetings.
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually went up in Pennsylvania to the guy's, Frick. He was the guy that started AA. Very interesting just to understand. And what happens is a lot of people get to the higher power, which was Jesus Christ, nobody else, for a long, long time. And then people started coming into AA or NA who weren't Christians, and they changed it to that higher power, whoever you want, and it's not the same. But what happens is NASCA does not want to, say, promote just one religion or one way. And there's many different ways. God works through many therapists who are Christians who pray and will read the Bible. Many of the I have been to gastrologists who will pray with you. My father had a gerontology doctor who would pray with. A lot of them are praying Christian people. I had went to a knee doctor, and I told him I prayed, and he said, would you pray for me? I'd like to have that kind of connection. People are out there, and they are looking and seeking. Some are quiet Christians, quiet believers, but they're praying for their patients. A lot of therapists are Christians. They're out there trying to help society and humanity. It just, there's a lot of restrictions in the profession. Now you have something called Christian counselors that can pray with you and stuff, and more pastors are getting trained in abuse, and there's more like the peer-to-peer. And so it's 8:26, so you guys finish up and make your comments and play the music.
Okay. Let's connect to Deborah again, and we'll see you again next month. If you can all look forward to it, we really appreciate your coming on, and also appreciate that you always have a great, and it was a great show. And I'm going to close out here and let people know that all these are archived, and this is scan number 3443 with Pastor Deborah. And I'm Victoria Kelly, and you're with NASCA, the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. So continue to come and join us, and we have a lot of volunteer opportunities, and we hope to see you all soon. Bye.
Feel no blame. This is Pastor Deborah again, and I want to thank you for coming and listening to the Blog Talk Radio Show, live of NASCA, the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, with me, Pastor Deborah. I am a global spiritual teacher who had been a licensed mental health counselor and became a pastor, a spiritual mother, teacher, leader to many, many around the world, thousands and millions. And I want to thank you for listening to this episode of The Curses of Abuse. I hope you learned a lot about them that we talked about this week, which was the death and dumb curse and the curse of jealousy. In the next Blog Talk Radio Show that I should be on, coming up soon, we're going to talk about the curse of haughtiness and the curse of lying and how they affect our lives after we have been abused in childhood. And the anchor of agape love has not been set by a true spiritual mother. So I want to thank you for listening and following NASCA. They have a lot of wonderful things that can help you. They have a peer-to-peer support group. They believe in getting healing, telling your story, and then becoming an advocate and helping other children. We thank you very much for your continued support and listening here to the archives of the Blog Talk Radio Show, live. There will be many other guests that will come on another week, but I'll be back. I'm usually here 2 or 3 times a month teaching. So I love you very much as a spiritual mother. And if you need me, you just can contact me through prayer. I'm also available through the website of www.agapeloveishere.org. Also have a YouTube channel called The Hidden Kingdoms. There is also one for children called For Children of All Ages. Many different playlists that you can watch. I'm on LinkedIn under Pastor Deborah. Also on Twitter at Pastor Deborah. My last name is Schleich, S-C-H-L-E-I-C-H. I don't use that name when I'm out here because that part of me was never called into the ministry. Just Pastor Deborah. That's right. Sometimes I might be in the realm of the unseen, the realm of the spirit, working and praying. I pray a lot. I cry a lot. Listen to a lot of music. I'm always studying. Today, I'm multitasking. I'm listening to music, praying, crying, and doing this editing of this video. So you come back next time. See you out here in the world of humanity and nature. I might be in your dreams. You might see me with angels. You never put anything past the God who loves you, the God of agape love. He loves nature. He loves the planet. He loves the animals and creation. He is always at work when you have a heart of love, not only for yourself, but for others. So I'll see you next time on another live Blog Talk Radio Show of NASCA, the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. And this is Pastor Deborah. Bye-bye.